is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. The biggest news of the day, Micah Parsons out of the division. You only see him twice if you match up with the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs this year. Joining us from Dallas, our guy Zach Wolchuk, 105.3 in Dallas. He's with us now. Zach, what have the last 18 hours been like in your city?
We're doing the Weed and Boys to bring this in. Come on. Well, what are we doing, Denton? This is just not, you know, this isn't nice. This is not nice at all. The last 18 hours have been, it's not a shock. I can't say I'm surprised by it. I really didn't think that they would trade Micah Parsons. I thought that this would get done. But, you know, it's just another example of the failure that is the Jones family and football operations. So, you know, we're living in a modern day Dan Snyder. You guys got to get rid of that idiot. And now you've got yourselves, you know, a front office that is somewhat, you know, seems like they know what they're doing. And the arrow is pointing up. And the difference here is, I don't know that we're going to get any sex scandals or God knows what else that can come out to force Jerry Jones to sell. That's kind of what we need. We need some Gruden emails or something, or else we're just going to be living in this hellhole for the foreseeable future.
I think Gruden did just win that case, so you might get some emails between John Gruden and Jerry Jones. That might be something that you have. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime in the near future, but eventually it could. So one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is because I distinctly remember about a year and a half ago, we had you on the show, and you alluded to the fact that maybe Micah Parsons wasn't going to be in Dallas for forever. So how did we get to this point from where that was a thing, like, you know, who knows what could happen, Jerry's kind of weird, to now him actually being a member of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, so I think the best way to put it is everyone saw the, you know, him laying on the trainer table, which went down the last preseason game. That type of, like, nonchalant, I'm detached from the team, I don't care, moody, Micah Parsons is kind of what you see every day behind the scenes. The leadership conversation, Micah wants to puff out his chest and be like, yeah, leadership, he talks about it on his podcast. Look, the last time that somebody had to, like, yell out, follow me, I'm the leader, you're not the leader, dude. Like, that's not leadership, right? People that are natural-born leaders, you just kind of you fall into that role. So Mike is not that. So when you're talking about paying a guy the most money that any non-quarterback's ever seen, I think you do have to do your due diligence, and is this worth paying the player? So I knew that there were people behind the scenes, and I also knew, like, now the DeMarcus Lawrence stuff has come out, I had heard that previously. Like, DeMarcus Lawrence couldn't stand him. I'll be honest, Osa Digizua is not a big Micah Parsons fan. Like, there's a lot of players. Now, there's some that love him. Sam Williams loves him. Draymond Diggs loves him. There's certain players that, and it's probably what it's like in every workplace environment. You're going to have some people that love you. You're going to have some people that don't. When you're going out and you're setting sack totals for your first 4 years that nobody other than Reggie White's seen, you just look the other way, right? So it's not to say that it's, what the Cowboys did by moving Micah Parsons is the right or smart thing. History will tell. But I had heard the rumblings inside that building that Mike is not the easiest individual, and there were some concerns that would he live up to that type of contract if he were to get it.
How much did the podcast rub people the wrong way?
I think the fans were out the second he had Jordan Love on his show, 2 weeks after he just urinated all over the Star in Dallas at AT&T Stadium and kicked their ass and sent them packing. You know, I think that's what did it for a lot of Cowboy fans. They were like, screw this guy. If he wants to go be buddies with a team that just embarrassed us, one of the worst home playoff losses in the history of not just the Dallas Cowboys, but just football in general, like, all right, are you with us? Or do you want to just go fraternize with the enemy? So I think there were a lot of fans specifically, and I think players as well. Malik Hooker talked on a podcast 2 off-seasons ago about it too. Like, players didn't love it. Players didn't love the podcast element. Now, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown and his brother have one. Lions are winning games. No one cares. Marlon Humphrey's got one in Baltimore. They're winning games. No one cares. So when you're winning, it's not a big deal. But when you're the Dallas Cowboys and you go 7-10 last year and you're getting embarrassed in the postseason, it becomes a big deal.
Did people find it weird how much, because I found it weird, how much he praised Jaden Daniels last year?
Yeah, and like the top five rankings, and then he doesn't put Dak in there. Like, I do think, now I didn't think he was wrong. Like, that's not a top five quarterback. So, you know, he was being honest. And that's something that I've always kind of respected about Micah. Micah's going to tell you like it is, right? Like, Micah's not going to sugarcoat it. I kind of found that refreshing. And from a radio aspect of it, Denton, I mean, you can relate. Like, that's good content for us to be able to have on our show. So, like, I was fine with it. But, yeah, I do think his seemingly flirtation with other teams, and he's wearing, like, a Tyrese Maxey Sixers jersey, you know, and like, there was always the concern, like, does he actually want to be an Eagle? He grew up a Cowboy fan. I never had that sense that, like, he actually wanted to go play in Philly. But, you know, the Cowboy fans, I think we're always looking sideways at Micah. Like, what's really going on here? So, like, for those that are comparing the Luka and Micah trade, it's totally different. Like, there was a funeral outside of the American Airlines Center for Luka Doncic. I think there's very much a split going on of Cowboy fans are, like, upset or not, or happy that Mike is gone.
Yeah, I was going to ask about those comparisons. Like, what's next? Are you guys going to, you know, hold Nathan Eovaldi tight? I don't know who the great hockey players are in town, but are you, like, holding them tight? Like, what's next?
Well, thank God, you know, we got Mikko Rantanen with the Dallas Stars. So he's right now the saving grace, I guess, in Dallas sports. They actually traded for a big-name player instead of trading one away. But, yeah, it's not great. It's not great right now in DFW sports. And look, I mean, the Cowboys are the king. And it's just, I think, I don't know that, you know, in Washington, nobody's going to feel sorry for Cowboy fans. I totally respect that. But it does feel like very reminiscent to, I think, how Washington fans felt in the Dan Snyder era, where it's like, is there any hope here? Like, we have just no chance. And I think that that's where a lot of Cowboy fans are with Jerry Jones.
So, Zach, we'll get you out of here on this. I know it's only been, you know, about 18 hours, so maybe we'll get more news of this as more time goes on. Do you know if they fielded any other offers, or was this a Green Bay or bust?
Baltimore and Arizona, I believe, are teams that were interested. They cut it into a criteria to where it had to be teams that could pay Micah what you wanted, so they needed the cap space, one. And then the Cowboys did want to get back a defensive tackle, because they totally missed on Mozzie Smith. This dude can't play. And they refused to cut him, because that would be, you know, admitting that they failed on a draft pick, and they're too egotistical to do that. So they wanted to get a defensive tackle, and Green Bay has Kenny Clark. So that was one of the teams that checked off the box. I think Baltimore with Travis Jones was another one. Arizona, not so much. It would have been like Calais Campbell, and he's pretty damn old. So I don't think they were really interested there. But, yeah, it's the timing of this, Dan, that they totally butchered. If they were going to trade Micah Parsons, they should have done it prior to the draft. But they thought they were going to get a deal done with him. And then Jerry got in his feels, and now here we are today, a week before the season, we're talking about Micah being a Green Bay Packer. And good luck to everybody else in the NFC if Jordan Love can stay healthy.
I didn't even know that Calais Campbell was still playing. That guy's older than dirt, it feels like, at this point. They didn't want Daron Payne? I would have given Daron Payne, yeah.
I'd have loved Daron Payne. I'd have been interested. We could have talked. But the only places that Jerry wasn't sending Micah were the Giants, Commanders, and Eagles. So that he said he didn't care about Green Bay. He didn't care about anybody else. But he didn't want to play him twice a year and send him within the division. So, you know, but who knows? I mean, maybe Washington could have blown him away with an offer. But if you would have offered three first-rounders and Daron Payne, I'd have taken that.
I gladly would have offered that one. I like Daron Payne, yeah. But I, you know, he ain't no Micah Parsons. Appreciate it, my friend. I know it's been hard in your city, but I appreciate you giving us some time.
Of course, man. Thank you.
That is Zach Wolchuk, 105.3, the Fan in Dallas. Losing Micah and Luka in, like, not even in, like, 6 months.
It's been a tough 2025 for anybody who's a Dallas sports fan.
Brian, are you a Mavericks fan too, or are you just a Cowboy fan?
No, he's on our side on that one. He's on the Wiz.
Damn, that's the team you like.
Hey, man.
We're growing together, man. You know what? We're growing together. I think next year's draft is it. Next year's draft is the one where the superstar comes for the Washington Wizards. All right, before we get out of here, got to give you some plays. One final look at the college football weekend coming up here. We got a lot of good games throughout the course of the weekend. There's two that I'm eyeing. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Max, but I'm definitely on Baylor tonight. So Baylor and Auburn, they kick off at 8. This is kind of the marquee. It's on Fox. I'm on Baylor tonight. That line has moved a little bit. It's right now at 2. It was at 2.5 yesterday. So I feel not the greatest about waiting and playing it at the 2, but I'm on Baylor. I don't think Auburn is in a position to where they are going to be a great team this year. In fact, I think they are a hot mess and a half. Hugh Freeze is being pulled in 18 different directions. He wants to play golf, it feels like, more than he wants to coach. They got like 3 quarterbacks that he said he might play against Baylor. Like, this isn't Chattanooga. If you're going to play 3 quarterbacks, you play them against an FCS team that you're paying $1 million to beat up on. You don't play 3 quarterbacks against a Baylor team that has something to prove in the Big 12. So I like Baylor covering the 2 tonight. That one's going to be in Waco. And then the one that I'm kind of perplexed with right now is Georgia Tech and Colorado. This line is 4.5. I like Georgia Tech on the season, and I feel like they should blow in Colorado completely out of the water. But the fact that this line is as short as it is a little bit alarming. So I'm actually going to decide, Max, I'm not playing that one. I'm not playing the spread. I did go the total. I went over 51 in a hook, which is a tough number on week number one, not knowing whose offense is going to be good. But I decided I'm not going to play that spread. It's a little too much for me. I don't have a great side. So I went over just soccer mom style. I hope everybody has fun and scores a lot of points. Now let's get to the big dogs. I'm on Ohio State tomorrow. I think everyone is on Arch Manning.
Everyone.
Everyone is on Texas. You're like, well, you know, you lose Jim Knowles for Ohio State, you lose Chip Kelly for Ohio State, you lose a quarterback for Ohio State, you lose a bunch of offensive linemen, and they did. They lost a lot of pieces in a lot of different areas, but this is Ohio State that we're talking about here. They just retool. It doesn't matter if it's coaches, quarterbacks, receivers, offensive linemen, I don't care. They simply just retool. I'm on Ohio State. Now, this one has come down to be a pick 'em. Right now, Texas is now just a very, very slight favorite on the money line at minus 115 compared to Ohio State's minus 105. But literally, before you played the slot machine noise, it was minus 110. It was a straight pick'em. So, like, damn. This is changing as the seconds and minutes go by, which means there's a lot of money coming in, a lot of big-time money coming in on this particular game. But I'm rocking with the Buckeyes. I got Ohio State. At 3 p.m., I got Bama, 3:30 p.m., I should say. I got Bama laying 14 against Florida State. I think Alabama's going to be a really good team this year. I got them going into the college football playoff, potentially being a championship contender. I have them winning the SEC. And this Florida State quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, has not shut up about wanting to beat Alabama. That is not the way to handle it when you're taking on Alabama. I know it's not Saban as the head coach of that team anymore, but if you're going to run your mouth like, buddy, you got kicked off of Boston College. They said, we don't want you up here at Boston College. And you think you're just going to walk into Florida State and beat Alabama week number one? I think this game is going to be chippy. I think it's going to be petty, and a petty game means a blowout by the better team. I think Alabama lays that 14 against Florida State. I got Clemson laying 4 against LSU. This is just because Clemson is my champion. I think Clemson is the best team, or going to be the best team in college football. I have them winning the championship, so I'm going to take Clemson laying the 4 against LSU in the nightcap or the main event slot at 7:30 on Saturday. And then this is the player that I don't feel the best about, Max, but I'm just going to subscribe to the model that Kevin Sheehan has taught me. You go the opposite of the public. I got Miami over Notre Dame. I don't like Miami. Ooh. I don't like their coach. I do not like their quarterback. But with Notre Dame having a new quarterback in CJ Carr, I'd really like Marcus Freeman. I think he does a really good job.
Good coach.
But you got a new quarterback in CJ Carr, and any time that I can pull up an app like BetMGM, which shows you where the money is, and I see 77% of the money in one direction, in a top 10 matchup, you have to go the other direction. The offensive line for Miami and the game plan, I think, is going to be significantly better than what Carson Beck had to deal with last year at Georgia. They could not run the football to save their lives. Miami will be much better about that. So I got Miami covering the 2.5, covering the 2.5 against Notre Dame. That's going to be the Sunday night game at 7:30. I'm actually going to be at a wedding while that's going on, but I'll find ways to put eyes on that one. But I got Miami. So I got Miami covering 2.5. I got Clemson laying 4. I got Bama laying 14. I got Ohio State. You can right now, it's just better to take them on the money. So I would take Ohio State on the money, and then I'm on Baylor tonight with an over in Georgia Tech and Colorado. Before we get out of here, Max, do you got anything that you want to get in here that you're going to play?
South Carolina.
South Carolina laying the 7.5?
Yep. I think they're just going to dominate. I'm in on Lenora Sellers. I made some Heisman picks during this show just to kick off college football season. I can't do it in Virginia, so I got to do it here. But Lenora Sellers is on that list of picks, along with Cade Klubnik, DJ Lagway, and I laid a little scratch on Jeremiah Love just in case. But I'm high on Lenora Sellers. South Carolina did a lot last year. I think they're going to be a little pissed coming off of last year because I feel like Beamer and all of them feel like they got snubbed from the playoff, even though, But, yeah, I'm in on South Carolina against Virginia Tech. I think they're just going to crush.
They need to. The worst thing that they can do if you're South Carolina is be what Oregon was, which was kind of get crushed. Yeah. Or not get crushed, but not look nearly as good and competent offensively as we thought. That's it for us. Everybody enjoy your long weekend. Stay safe out there. Remember, if you make money off of our bets, hit me up on Twitter @TheDentonDay. If you don't, keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear about it. See ya. Roosters next.